Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to worship at the altar of music and comedy. The giddiness and the harmony of a well-crafted comedy song brings great joy in abundance. Join the tinkling talents of David Thames and me, Phil Nickel. Sit back, turn it up, and enjoy Songs in the Key of Laugh.
Yes.
Songs with Key of Laugh. We are back again. It's series two. It's episode 9.
It is.
I don't know why I did it like that.
I'm David Thames.
I'm Phil Nickel. And what a filthy show we have for you today.
Well, that's the plan. That's what we're going with today, isn't it, Phil?
I thought we'd discuss rudity. Crudity and rudity in musical comedy.
Is that like carrots and cucumber and stuff?
Yes, crudités. It's different. Yeah, sticking a carrot up your ass. That's crudités. Is it? I'll go with that.
Okay.
I want to see your hors d'oeuvres. We're going to be discussing body humor, drinking songs, rude things, funny people, Nick Helm, Aquafina, things like that. And also on the show, we've got our, as normal, a comedy song contest.
Competition. That's the one, yes.
I was waiting for you to do that.
Sorry, I realized.
I know, it's getting dumb now.
Yeah, okay.
But we have a really great submission this week. And also we are
doing our musical. We're almost finished.
Is this the last one?
Well, I think probably, yes.
We have to wrap the whole thing up?
Because then we have to wrap it up next week. And I tell you what, I think there's more work to go into it than we maybe thought at the start, trying to compile all of these ideas together. But anyway, we're going to give it a go. And hopefully, at the end of this series, you're going to have a full musical to listen to. Oh, my goodness.
We're also going to be interviewing a fantastic young comic artist who David used to work with, Lily Phillips.
Oh, but you look nice and you're wearing red lipstick, but you're also talking about poo.
I didn't wear red lipstick.
I managed to get David into an outfit only once our whole time together.
What was the outfit?
The glitter.
It was a sparkly onesie.
Sparkly onesie, which somehow I lost.
Oh, I wish we had that
one
for the Cray Cray Cabaret.
We've got a photo of it downstairs.
There is a photo.
I saw it when I came in.
Yeah, there is a photo of it.
But, I think it's what you need, a sparkly onesie.
I mean, yeah.
Oh my God.
Now, Philip, you've been doing some educating.
Scatological humor.
Scatological. What does that mean?
But I think it's funny because you actually didn't know the meaning of scatological when I said it. I said, what should we talk about in the show today? And I was like, we'll talk about scatological humor. David, what does scatological mean?
Yeah, but I always thought of it as a completely different meaning and I was completely wrong.
What do you think it was?
Like, you know, things scattered around, things are all over the place, but actually scat means shit.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. Scatological humor, by its definition, is characterized by obscenity or preoccupation with obscenity, especially in the form of reference to excrement, but really, or the scientific study of excrement. But it also actually means things are a bit cheeky, a bit naughty, a bit offensive, a bit about your bum, your willy. See, I can't say the word willy without you giggling. You're such a child.
Phil, there's a song. Right, there's a song that me and I've got two brothers, one older, one younger.
Right.
And we've got one of these little WhatsApp groups, but they always send things over to me.
Okay.
Now, the first thing that I think that as a three we ever properly bonded on, which is that's a bit harsh to my family, a few years ago, we found this video and this song called Willy Bum Bum.
I've got a little willy, I put it in my bum. Me and my bum have all kinds of fun. Me and my willy are really old friends. Would have put that with my willy hole in. Silly old willy, look what you've done. You've got water on my friendly old bum. My willy silly.
Yeah, you nailed it in one there. That's
that's scatological.
That's scatological.
Okay.
Well, I think that is. I mean, I guess it's up for grabs. People would say it's specifically scat. And by scat, I don't mean
Scoobity Bop Da
Ella Fitzgerald. Poopy poopy poop. Poopy poppy poppy poopy pants. I guess she could scat. Be a scat scatter.
Scatty poo poo.
Pissy, pissy, poop pop, ba poo, 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 poo. Farty, farty, poop pops, scatty, scat, too. Skibbity, scoopy, poopy, poop, poop, ba poo, poo.
Yeah, could be something like that. But that is ideally scatological scat. But it's not scat. I guess maybe that's where scat comes from, though, is the idea is they're just spitting out any old shit. What is it with you and the word willy, though? Because it's just you. I guess this is the whole point of the scatological, especially in comedy songs, is it turns us into dribbling little boys or
no, children.
It's just children. It's not even a male-dominated thing, because there's many, many female comedians I know who do jokes. There was a girl on the other night who did a thing about putting her vagina, putting a mirror over her vagina and doing ventriloquism with it.
No way.
And she was lonely. And it was very, very funny. And there's something about it that makes the whole audience just go, that's just really silly.
It is so, so silly.
Do you know Awkwafina?
I was just going to say.
Yes.
Seriously, do you know Awkwafina?
Yes.
Right, well, there we go. So she's like Golden Globe winning.
Yes.
Right, but the thing that like made her famous was she did a song called My Vag.
Awkwafina, yeah, it's my badge. That's the one I was going to mention. But she won a Golden Globe.
Yeah, not for that song. No, she won a gold. She won a Golden Globe like a few years later. So she's a comedian. She's an actress.
Really?
She won
a Golden Globe.
Yeah, she did for best actress.
Even after doing the song, my
even
badge.
After doing that song.
My veg, like an operatic ballad. Yo veg, like grandpa's cabbage. And my veg, effortless. Yo veg, post ads on Craigslist. My veg, score aloe vera. Yo veg, look like Tony Danza. My veg, like tasting heaven. Yo veg, manages a 7-Eleven. Yo, my veg, make your girl panties cream. Yo veg, spreads hepatitis C. And my veg,
your veg manages a 7-Eleven. My favorite line of that. So Awkwafina, I mean, she's done so much. She won the Golden Globe for a film, I think, called The Farewell. And she was the first woman of Asian descent to win a Golden Globe in any lead actress category.
It's incredible.
So this is, that's like, you know, I mean, so it kind of shows you how sometimes we kind of downplay musical comedy and comedy songs, and also then really downplay sort of scatological songs and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter, because the people that are purveyors of that nonsense, we'll call it, can actually be extraordinarily talented in so many other ways as well. And Awkwafina is a perfect example of that.
You're spot on, Phil.
Thanks.
Can I, if I write some songs about my willy, do you read?
Yeah, I think you'll win a Golden Globe. You've got two Golden Globes.
I know we talk about Australian comedy quite a lot.
Oh, indeed we do.
Right, and I was thinking of Tim Minchin earlier on, and I was thinking he doesn't really use scatological humour very much.
Not in that sense, no. I mean, he does have the song "The Pope is a Cunt."
Yes, that is very true. Yeah. But there are other Australian comedians, especially who use it very, very well.
Well, we've already had the Doug Anthony All-Stars,
yes.
And I Fuck Dogs, which you really enjoyed that.
I did enjoy that.
It's silly. But they've also got these like sort of darker guys. I don't know if Rodney Roode is he Australian, but Ostentatious is one. And I think Aussies just have this kind of really gruff sense of humor that I've not heard anywhere else in the world. And the one I was thinking of is a guy called Kevin Bloody Wilson, and which is
so
already
good.
It's already, you're already set up for if you're offended easily, this is probably not the guy to go and see. But this is a kind of thing.
I've had an absolute cunt of a day. Everything that could go did go wrong. So if I'm allowed to use the word cunt in a song, I've had an absolute cunt of a day. Started as a fart in bed. Well, it started as a fart, but I shit myself instead. And the fucking missus going off her fucking head. I've had an absolute cunt of a day. And running to the dunny like a bastard, trying to hold it in with me finger up me arse, and skidding past the kids and them little cunts laughing.
Okay, now, if you're now listening to the podcast thinking, David and Phil, where are we going with this? You can't be offended, because we are looking into scatological humor.
We are. We're discussing filth.
I mean, it is. We're going to go places in this episode that you might you may not like.
No, but that tune turns into quite a drinking song, and he manages to get the whole audience being equally as offensive as he is.
It's very pubby, and I think the song goes on. I mean, go and check it out, because actually it is a classic comedy song where it starts off bad and gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and is a ridiculously, ridiculously funny song.
I just want to pull in at this point, there are so many artists who over the years have pushed the boundaries of what is acceptable.
Yes.
And I think one of the most obvious ones that we haven't discussed yet is Monty Python.
Oh, yeah.
With Sit on My Face.
That is, the Monty Python Sit on My Face is one of the things that started me off in musical comedy and is most delightfully silly scatological songs.
It is, but it would be massively offensive for some people as well.
I think that's why it was funny.
Yeah.
Sit on my face and tell me that you love me. I'll sit on your face and tell you I love you too. I love to hear you oralize. When I'm between your thighs, you blow me away. Sit on my face and let
an absolute classic.
Yes, you'll be humming that all day. I can't get that song out of my mind.
It's just so funny on so many levels.
It is funny. It is rude. And I know we're talking about rude things. One of the rudest live sets I've ever seen in my life.
All right.
Would be Nick Helm.
Ooh, when he played the Cray Cray Cabaret.
Well, that's one time. That's one time. Which actually, if you're listening to this on release day, tonight, we have got
the Cray Cray
Cabaret
at the Comedy Store in London.
So please do come along to that.
Yeah.
So Nick Helm, yes. I've seen him completely and utterly take apart audience members and be very, very rude, but he does it in such an endearing way that it makes him, it doesn't just get away with it. He completely owns how rude he is.
Yeah, it's rude. It's loud. It's sweaty, but in essentially, it's just really, really funny.
It is. It's very offensive, but it's so good.
And he was also the first guest we had on the first episode of the first series of this podcast. So
it's a long time ago.
Why don't you go back and listen to it? Scatological humor was never really part of the Juice Pigs oeuvre. I mean, we were very rude, but we did a lot of death and a lot of weird, it's like a sort of a punk take on death and laughing at disease and stuff like that. But Greg Neal wrote the lyrics to this. I think it was Greg who wrote the lyrics to this song that the Juice Pigs did. It was called The Church. It goes like this. I belong to the church of the well-endowed man. My members as big as a grizzly bear's den. My pants can't hide the bulge God gave to me. I'm proud of the width and the length of my parts. You should see me break the young girls' hearts. I always draw a crowd when I take a pee. Well, I don't mean to brag, but my main piece drags. And when I go to bed, the mattress sags. It's hard to doze when you're long as a fire hose. We belong to the church of the well-endowed men. If you measured in feet, we'd be over 10. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making us well-endowed men. Thank you, Lord, for making us well-endowed men.
So, Phil, the song that I'm going to do is actually one that I used to do with the Ruby Darlings. This was while the girls were off changing. They said, can you do something that's completely and utterly ridiculous?
Yeah.
So the song was, was about men should have the right to fanny fart. So this is it. I can fanny fart the alphabet all the way from A to Z. I can make it sing the Simpsons theme tune whilst having a cup of tea. I used to be embarrassed, but it's a talent that I have tamed. Fanny farting is the only way. If I squeeze it, I can tune it to play a Mozart symphony. If I'm a little more violent, I can play Flight of the Bumblebee. I've got myself to grade 8, and I will soon be given fame. Fanny farting is the only way. Oh, the fact that I'm a guy doesn't mean I have less rights. I should be able to fanny fart where the fuck I like. I was at my uncle's funeral when I let out a queef. The vicar, he was angry and he hit me with his reef. It's the only thing that rhymed. My auntie, she was mad, but she did one later that day. Fanny farting is the only way. Fanny farting is the only way. Oh, fanny farting is the only way.
The songs for the comedy contest have been coming in fast and furious.
Yeah, we said that last week.
And it's still true.
Yeah, and it's still a competition.
It's still a contest.
Yeah.
Of course, if you want to send your songs in to the songs in the key of laugh at gmail.com to enter the contest, we'd love that. There is a £200 grand prize for the winner, which will be announced in the coming weeks. We've had some great entries.
So good. So good.
Some are musically really well produced. Some are lyrically fantastic. Some are great melodies. Some are hilarious concepts, and this week's is no different. It's a song from Rosalind Miller and Yams and Lakowski, and the song is Casual Fling.
"3 weeks we've been seeing each other for 3 weeks, but you've invited me to meet your parents, oh dear. Can you please tell me what's going on here? I thought it was just a shag. I thought you were a typical lad. Friends with benefits, you know what I mean. But you're living in a different scene. I should have known when you left your toothbrush. You answer your phone on the first ring, ding-a-ling. I should have known when you bought me roses. You didn't notice this was a casual fling. 4 weeks, I'm always washing my hair. 4 weeks, you catch me unawares. I've got a headache every night. No, it's not better when you turn out the light. Don't know why you're still hanging round. Please stop this talk of wedding gowns. I really like you just as a friend. Oh, what a bloody mess I'm in. I should have known. Situation so impossible, not worth the sex. All of these, all of these, all of these, all of these. Ah! I should have known when you left your toothbrush. You had the old phone on the first ring, ding-a-ling. I should have known when you bought me roses. You didn't notice this was a casual thing. I should have known. This was a casual fling. This was a casual fling."
We've been writing a musical for this whole season. Dave and I have been improvising a musical. We open the dictionary, put our finger down, pick a word, and then we go with whatever the word is. We try and fit it into a song. Doesn't always work.
But the idea is that we're going to be collating all of these songs, and we are going to make it into our full scale 20-odd minute musical.
Yes, and if you've been following the musical, we've got the lead characters, David and Phil.
Great names.
I've been washed away onto a desert island on a Massoon, picked up by a ghost ship and brought back to the land of Weasel, where the evil king is trying to force his daughter Sumo into marrying David?
Marrying Phil.
And she is in love with David.
Yes, of
course.
But
David now is missing a leg
because Phil
ate
got
it.
Hungry.
And they're on a ghost pirate ship with the ghost pirate Captain Bingerboard.
I don't know where that came, what part of your brain that name came from last week.
They auditioned for him a show on the ship. And David did his hopping tap dance
nailed it.
And they are now
With one leg.
With one leg. And they are now back off the coast of the Land of Weasel, and that's where we're at.
Okay, so they're just off the coast. We need a word, Phil.
Yep, here we go. So, let's just go through it again.
Go through the dictionary. Here we go.
Open it up. And the word is fire. Ooh, that's a good one. Fire.
Fire.
Fire. All right.
All right. Here we
fire.
Go. So they're just about the. It's fire. Like it's quite upbeat. They're just getting back to the land. It looks like things are gonna go well. Okay.
Wait. We've got like three songs left to go. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Okay.
All
right.
Ooh, that's quite nice. Bright. Well, I get.
Land ho! Polly want a cracker.
Where's the parrot coming?
That's the Captain Bingerboard's parrot, Polly.
Of course.
Good. What? Okay, Polly sings this bit.
Okay.
Hey, David and Phil, it's been really swell having you on board with Captain Bingerboard. Hey, David and Phil, we hope you do well when you get off the ship, the Land of Weasel.
Hey, David, I'm Captain Bingerboard. I noticed that Phil ate your leg. If you're gonna marry the woman of your dreams, you can borrow my peg.
Oh, my goodness, David, he's giving you his magic ghost peg leg. Is he, Phil?
That's true. He's only got four of them. My name's Polly.
That's the parrot.
Thank you so much, Captain Bingerboard. I'll wear your peg with pride. I'm gonna go home and marry Sumo and see if she'll peg me inside.
David, that's just a rude joke. He didn't mean it.
Forgive us, Captain Bingerboard.
See you later, guys.
What's next in store?
Wait a minute. What's that smell? Oh, it smells like smoke. Is there... Oh.
David! David, your leg's on fire! David, your leg's on fire! David! David, put it out!
Oh, good. God, I got that.
See you soon.
Do you like competitions? I like competitions. If you like competitions, then please join our Songs in the Key of Laugh comedy song competition and send in your submission for the competition to songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com. That's songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com. Join our competition.
This week's guest, Phil, I'm very excited about. Do you know why?
Why?
Because she's kind of like my best friend.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. So our guest is the founding member of the Ruby Darlings. So we worked together for many, many years. We've known each other for far too long. She's recently been on ITV2's stand-up sketch show.
Yep.
She's doing loads and loads of amazing things. It is Lily Phillips.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The guest on today's show is someone you might know.
I hope you do.
And if you don't, that's your own fault. But you'll know them soon.
You boy, you will.
This jingle has been personalized for a guest that we hope that you recognize. And this week their name is...
Insert name here.
Lily Phillips. Lily Phillips is here. I can't believe Lily Phillips is here. Hi, Lily Phillips.
Hi, everyone.
Lily Phillips, a rising star of the UK, nay, world comedy scene. Rising through the ranks, zooming through the ranks. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you, Lily Phillips.
Now,
I've got boobies on my socks, I've just realized.
Boobies on your socks?
You got boobies on your socks. Why do you have boobies on your socks?
Why not?
Oh, okay.
It's a fair point.
We should all have boobies on our socks.
What have you got on your socks? Nothing. Boring.
No, my socks are red.
My socks are black. Like my heart,
guys.
Red socks to a bull.
Get a personality.
It's so nice to have you on the show. Now, the reason people are thinking, why Lily Phillips is Lily? Didn't realize Lily Phillips was a musical comedian. And people are saying right now, they're turning to the program. Lily Phillips, put that sandwich down, honey. Is Lily Phillips a musical comedian?
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Fresh off the press. Oh, my God. Lily Phillips. She's multi-talented. What a bitch.
She's everywhere. But you are, and you have been, and you will be. You are, in fact, that's how you got started in comedy. You were actually in a comedy duo with this young man, David Timms, and the group was called The Ruby Darlings.
Yeah.
It was. And it was great. It was good fun.
It was great fun.
It was.
And I think I didn't realize how good we were until afterwards.
Really?
Is yeah, that, now I've been like looking back over it because I was going to do this. I was like, God, we were fucking brilliant.
I remember when
I've taken over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started doing this with David and he told me about the Ruby Darlings. In fact, because we had that strange connection because I'd done some gigs with you and then I didn't realize David knew you. I didn't realize that you lived around here. And then I went and did a little, rabbit hole of Ruby Darling stuff and realize not only are you guys brilliantly musical and fantastically funny lyrically, but the videos are also extraordinarily funny as well.
What videos?
You've got some videos.
Oh, I don't like when people have gone on the internet because I forget what's there.
Oh, no, it's all good. No, it's there, definitely. 13 million views. I couldn't believe it.
What is?
No, but, yeah. but so I'm curious to know. So you are you? Do you play instruments? First of all,
no.
Lily, you do. You play the ukulele.
Oh, stop it, David! I told you not to bring this up.
You have the stickers on the ukulele,
so I can play it like at the skill level of maybe a 3-year-old.
Yeah,
And that's why the stickers are quite helpful because colours. You know, it's like a primary school version. But I had to learn it because you left me on my own. What else was I supposed to do?
That's a fair point.
Just do it a cappella like a loser.
Okay, I feel like maybe we shouldn't have got the band back together. But let's go back. Drift back in time.
Remember when I liked
the year David. The year was 2010.
Around about.
Yeah, I just guessed that. But 2010.
What is time?
You guys were children. You were childish.
We weren't children, because I had a whole other career. I'd been a dancer for 6 years, so I'd done that. So I was a woman. Who wanted to get back to her childish roots.
Right.
And David was the guy for that.
There we go.
He was the most immature person I've ever met.
So you were in school together.
We were, yeah. So Lily was a couple of years older than I was. And
a couple more levels of cool.
I mean...
Did you smoke cigarettes? Were you that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And is your mum listening to this?
I know. I'm 34 now. Would never... I mean, I don't smoke, but if I ever had a cigarette socially, I would never do it in front of her. I would just die. I would have to just die.
Right.
I'd kill myself. I'd kill her, kill myself. I just wish the whole thing had never happened.
Okay, we'll edit around this bit then.
Absolutely not. So we were at the same primary school.
What?
And our brothers were good friends.
They were in the same year.
They were in the same year. And you were a couple of years older than me. We went to the same secondary school.
Yeah.
And
you kept following me around.
I didn't. It was the closest school to where I lived. That's why I went there.
Actually, you're closer to it than I am.
I know I am, yes. So I don't know how that works. But yeah. But you were far cooler than I was.
Can't deny it.
Yeah.
Wish I could, but...
You were one of the dancers.
You were one of the dancers.
Yeah.
And you were like twinkle fingers at the piano at this point already.
I sat on my own in the music room and played the piano, wearing jogging bottoms.
That's nice.
Every day. In fact, 1 year I wore shorts every day for a bet.
Right.
So never even gave me that money.
So nothing's changed really.
No, and I was just behind the music block, just necking.
Yeah. Smoking cigarettes and
looking
necking.
At David through the window.
Yeah.
In his shorts.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
Well, gosh.
So let's talk about
the Ruby Darlings, though. So this was pre that project, isn't that good?
This is the pre-Ruby Darlings project.
Yeah, well, it was our first album.
Yeah, it makes but it no, sound just, much more intentional.
At what point, where did you guys go, let's sing a thing together, name the day? How did it come about?
We couldn't even name the year, so day is going to be difficult. So I did something with my friend who I trained at dance college with. We did a little thing together for a show that we were asked to do. And then we were like, oh, this may be something. But we were just changing the words to songs that already existed. And it was really dance-based at that point because that's the training that we'd done and that's what we knew. But there was like a comedy slight element, a very feminist element to it. And then it was a friend of mine, Grace, who wanted to produce us and then said, maybe you should get a musician so that we don't have to have backing tracks and that can... Maybe make this grow a bit right. into something else.
And across the field, you could hear from the distance, from the music's block,
no,
piano and a man in his shorts.
I was playing for Grace's mum.
Not in anything official, just
in the living room. Playing a piano in the living room, yeah. No, I was doing some musical direction and was playing around doing different things. And I was playing a bit of cabaret. And yeah.
What? You were doing cabaret before me?
Yeah.
You've never told me
Uh-oh.
That. Oh, well. Who is she?
Yeah.
Seriously,
it was the Emerald Sisters.
They used to do some stuff down at like Cellar Door and places like that. Whoa. Anyway, but so we had to, I got called in to a meeting. Sounds very official.
Yeah, it was probably just at my...
It was
mum and dad's house.
I think so, yeah. And they said, David, would you like to be part of this? And I said, well, I'm a bit busy. No, I said, I 100% would love to be, but would we be able to write our own songs instead of just changing the words of other songs?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, because we were just, I guess, looking for a pianist at that point. That was like, here's the songs that we've already done. Can you play them live so that we can go around London doing it? And he put his foot down.
And what sort of things were you doing at that point then? And this was like, this is sort of a thing that you could hook your dancing onto, right?
Yeah, so we did the song The Look of Love, but we changed it to The Look of Sex.
This is ABC's Look of Love?
The look of love is in your eyes.
Yeah. That one.
It's the look of sex.
No, it wasn't that one, Phil.
No. That was nice.
I'm having that. It's going to be big.
And that was about men staring at you on the tube.
Which is quite current now.
It is. We were so ahead of our time.
You probably sell that to TFL.
It's very true.
Oh, we could.
Yeah.
So then we started writing together, didn't we? And
yeah.
Yeah, did a couple of gigs and then it grew.
So what was the first song that you wrote? Do you remember what it was?
Also,
can you sing it?
I don't remember. And also, I don't remember like there ever being a stage where it was like difficult, like when we first started. Like, I don't remember it taking a long time.
No, I think we sat down. I think we knew that we wanted to be rude, and Rachel was very much the person who kind of made us be slightly less rude.
Yeah, she policed it
very much.
We needed that
because one of the first songs that we wrote,
Masturbation.
Was that one of the first?
I feel like that one was the first.
Is that the title? Masturbation.
No, Celebration of Masturbation.
Celebration of Masturbation.
Yeah.
And
it had a bit of performance art in it.
From
Rachel.
Oh my god, it did.
Did it have choreography?
She was like this stressed out woman coming from work, so she had a shirt on and like a high-waisted skirt, and it was like this is how she relaxed after a hard day. And then she pulled out various objects from her handbag, and then I would be at the side singing narrating what she was doing. It was pretty cool. It was a great performance piece.
She really, really nailed that as well.
Yeah, and it grew so much, like her acting through it.
Yeah,
the more comfortable she got, and that was a real, people loved that song. And then women would come up to you afterwards and be like, "Oh my god, I've never heard anyone talk about masturbation before." And then we just have a great chat about wanking.
Yeah, I got the feeling from the stuff that I've seen that it was a very feminist show, even though it's very sex based material. So you could say a bit rude, a bit naughty, yeah. a bit body,
but with a
feminist bent. So like seeing,
yeah, and we felt like that hadn't been done before. I mean, maybe it probably had, but for us, it felt really new to wear these like sexy outfits and have this really stylized version of a show, and then talk about quite filthy, rude stuff. And that kind of juxtaposition we thought was kind of interesting. And we'd get a lot of like conversations about that from the audience, wouldn't we? It'd be is that, they couldn't marry those two things? Like, oh, but you look nice and you're wearing red lipstick, but you're also talking about poo.
I didn't wear red lipstick.
I managed to get David into an outfit only once our whole time together.
What was the outfit?
The glitter.
It was a sparkly onesie.
Sparkly onesie, which somehow I lost.
Oh, I wish we had that one for the Cray Cray Cabaret.
We've got a photo of it downstairs.
There is a photo.
I saw it when I came in.
Yeah, there is a photo of it.
I think it's what you need, a sparkly onesie.
I mean, yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, since the child. Might need a bigger one.
Can I remind you, it was your partner that had actually had the baby.
I'm aware of this as well. Thank you for it.
Yeah, they're supportive, but that's too far.
Yeah, I mean, one of the conversations that we used to have quite often with people after the show, we finished with a big number, which was say no to anal.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't...
No to anal.
Say no to... Yeah. Say no to anal. It's for number two, not to pleasure you.
You can do it in my front bum, but not in my bum bum.
Say no to anal. Yeah, and that we ran around with big banners saying say no to anal, and everybody got really, really into it. Like properly.
Everyone stood up, everyone was dancing, everyone was singing. It was our anthem.
Yeah.
People often were like, can we buy this song on CD?
It's the big ending.
But we like I would then, because I used to smoke, and so I'd be like the first person out of the gig, and as quickly as I physically could, would be out having a fag, and so many people would come out, and then you'd get so many differing reactions. Some people who were like, "Oh my god, that song! It's brilliant! Oh, thanks so much for saying." Because what it was actually, it was about how the porn industry has like normalized crazy sex things. I like anal not being a crazy sex thing, but it being something that's other than the norm, and therefore it what am I trying to say?
Yeah,
here,
like, well, one of the lyrics was the porn industry has gone too far, and it was about how young people are exposed to pornography from such a young age that they see all these acts and then they see them as expectations, and it's not a conversation, a dialogue between you and your partner. It's like, I've seen what sex is because I've seen these videos, so then the first time they have sex, they'll just like go straight to anal without like discussing it with the girl,
right?
And that was, it was just kind of like a protest against that,
right?
About, well, choice something that and not being
either
like,
of you had experienced in your young, I mean, was it from
was it more
of a conceptual it wasn't like the song, I'm just asking.
No, I think both Rachel and I had experiences where guys had accidentally got the wrong hole.
Oh god, you can do that?
No, you can't. Absolutely not.
Say, how do you care?
We know.
Yeah.
They're like, oh whoops, and you're like,
how do you whoops? Well, yeah.
They only whoops if you go, what the fuck are you doing? And then they're like, oh my god, what an error. And you're like,
and at that point, you've empowered women to say no to anal.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. I mean, do you, but like, don't. The porn can make people like coerce people into doing things that they don't want to do. It's an expectation rather than, what do you like? What do I like? Da, 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 da.
We did eventually, like one of the last gigs, we also got, like, Rachel went out with a huge banner across the stage saying hashtag say yes if you want to. It's all about choice. Because we would get so many, like, and people would come up with like furious viewpoints at the end of shows as well, which was fascinating. But we did have to take those opinions on board.
Well, it's very interpersonal. Interpersonal. Okay. Sorry.
But you know what?
Lily just looked at me like, no. we're just going to move on.
No, I just wanted to say that I think that had something to do with us being two women together singing about women and saying this is what women want when it was just our own personal experience. Because now, in doing stand-up, I do jokes about anal all the time. I really need to change my style, I think. But no one's ever come up to me and said, like, why did you say that about anal? Because I'm not like speaking for a group of people. I'm just saying I don't want to.
This is my feeling, is that even in the last, well, since 10 years, that is, things have changed. The conversation's changed. I think the social networking, because it's not, I mean, that 10 years ago, that we didn't even have, Facebook was just brand new and didn't have I think people are more open, honest, and in discussion about it.
Yeah.
There's been a lot more of those, like, I don't know what they're called, but they're like the
pegging.
Pegging has been discussed, but also like the slut marches. Is that the right thing to way of saying it? But where women go, I'm allowed to dress like this. Like, I want to dress like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't slut. No slut shaming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think all those things have led to a conversation about it. That's probably, you were at the sort of the front end of that, which have been.
Yeah.
You're probably at the beginning of that. No, I think that's probably true. I've in my experience, because I'm an old guy, old fart, that is kind of a new conversation that women are taking more control over what they like and don't like and stating it up front.
Yeah, I think like with everything, sometimes you go one way and then you end up forgetting another group of people, because then you're like, oh, women are really sexually liberated and we should be able to sleep with whoever we want and do whatever we want. But that isn't necessarily what all women want to do.
No.
And if you don't want to go down that path, then you might feel isolated from the movement. So I think I think that is great. And I think now we've sort of settled a bit and we're having these really different conversations. And there's just a whole wide range of how to be a woman and a feminist.
Yeah,
I learned a lot. I mean, the conversations right through writing these songs. It was very eye opening. Put it that way. So, and years
you're
and years,
welcome, David.
But the way that we would write, Lil would come up with, like, she'd have like 5 pages of just ridiculous shit written down on a Word document. She's like, so I don't want to show you any of this. I'm like, well, you've got to show me or I can't write the song. So then she's like, well, okay, well, you can see this bit. And so she'd like show me a little
bit. It's like showing your diary to someone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I mean, eventually, like by the end of each session, I would have seen the whole entire thing and we would have put it all into a song.
Yeah.
How many
songs did you have then?
It
was a whole show. Was it one show? We took the show to Edinburgh.
Yeah. The show was in Edinburgh. We took it to Orlando and New York as well.
Yeah.
And was it simply called The Ruby Darlings, or was there a title? Ruby Darlings was the name of the act.
Yeah, I think it was just The Ruby Darlings.
Was one of them called Say No? Maybe we put little titles.
Maybe. Right.
The Fingering.
Possibly.
I did a poem about fingering.
You did.
Why are you sighing? It is hard to revisit old material.
But
sometimes.
It's not old. That's what's the problem. I just haven't grown in any way. I just changed the format into stand up.
It was very weird being the guy as well, and it was constant fodder for you on stage to take the piss out of me, which was fine.
And I've known David from the time I've been working with him, and I think everyone that listens to the podcast will know that David is the nice guy of this partnership. David is, like, I often say go too far and say too much, and David is the one that appears to be easily shocked. Do you think that's just all a facade now?
Yeah. Because we shocked him continuously.
I knew it.
He's broken. We broke him.
I knew it. He did break me. Yeah. No. Yeah. No, I think the hen parties broke me.
Yeah. Oh, so we started, word got around about our show.
Right.
And we started to get booked for hen parties.
Did you? Got PTSD about this.
We would make a bespoke show for them and include the bride's name and like stories we'd find out from her friends.
We did not charge enough.
I know, the amount of work
they
that went into that.
They dressed me up as Jesus and I got dildos like thrown at me and shit. It was horrendous.
You loved it.
I didn't.
But hen party is a fucking carnage.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
Like,
yeah.
We thought, it'll be really nice, just go to this house in Brighton and we'll just do this little show and da da da. And like, yeah, David, I just called you Thomas, came out with...
Thomas is Lily's partner.
Trauma, yeah. I would say.
It was trauma. It was absolutely traumatic.
The worst was when we did a hen party where all the women had just had kids and this was their night. And it was, oh my God, it was absolute chaos. Like, we did manage to mainly sort of get through our show, but they were battered when we arrived. The they ended up drawing, they all drew vaginas with permanent marker on their foreheads. And then the bride-to-be fell through a glass table. And we were like, we're leaving. Thank you so much.
So funny.
We didn't tell them to do any of that. That was them improvising.
It's a very British thing. The hen, the stag, the, I mean, they have stag and hen do's in other countries, but it's a very, very British way of approaching it, I think, to have that kind of for both the men and the women to go completely hell for leather.
So
you took your show, The Ruby Darlings, to Edinburgh, and you were successful there, and then you went to the Orlando Fringe and you were successful there. I don't want to get into why you're not doing it anymore, but actually, do you think that so you didn't really write comedy before that experience? You were a dancer.
No, yeah.
And so that has informed the stand-up. So when did you think, I'm going to do stand-up when I leave this group, or did you?
No.
So tell me how that happened.
I was obsessed with the group, I would say.
I think that's fair.
I wanted it to go on forever.
Oh.
And I was probably not that fun to be around sometimes because I was the one like bugging everyone and nagging everyone,
right,
shouting at David for being late.
Yeah, but I think at the same time as this though, like I was running a charity in South Africa and I was away quite a lot, so I couldn't
right.
do all
you're a good person.
No, but yes. We've spoken about
he's better than you.
We've spoken about it on the pod before, so that's why I'm bringing it. So I was away a lot when you wanted to do like a full Edinburgh run.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to come up. You know, I came up and did a week here, a week there, but I'd send it up with somebody else.
Mm.
And it as wonderful as it was, it was never the full package. Even though, what did you did take a, like a four-piece band?
Five-piece band. The first year we went to Edinburgh and we had different venues, so we were like lugging across all these people, all of these instruments across, and it was absolute madness. And we earned no money, obviously, because you don't earn any money anyway, but we decided to have a cast, which we didn't need. But you learn a lot in those experiences.
You learn by experience, yes.
But doing it wrong. No, it was really fun. And it was an amazing sound to have a five-piece band and a saxophone.
Yeah.
So, what point did you guys... I mean, it sounded like it was going really, really well. It sounds like it was very commercially viable.
It
and it sounded like a lot of fun.
Commercially viable.
Not even with all this, the hen party?
No, because like David said, we didn't charge enough.
No, I don't think then maybe we knew our worth in the same way. I think if we did it now, we'd know what our kind of price point was, and we go, well, we're not going out for less than that.
Yeah. But also, I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like cabaret and musical comedy in that world, I feel now I've done stand-up that it's much harder. It's not as easy to navigate. There aren't as many gigs. Whereas stand-up just seems a lot more straightforward. Like, people are just scared of like a group and like instruments, and they're like, how am I gonna, what's that? Whereas if you're just one person, they're like, okay, easy.
Yeah, that's even having playing a guitar in my act, having to carry it, getting to a gig where the mic's plugged into the DJ's booth and there's no input. There are loads of things that you have to overcome that would be a pain in the ass. So I was in a comedy trio for 10 years, so that was, we took all of our own equipment in a van just in case the place didn't have equipment.
Really?
So the number of times we set up somewhere, but then it was no problem because we had it and then we just did it.
Yeah.
But it meant that we could charge for that. But I want to know about that moment where you switched from being that to the stand up that we have sitting before us.
So Rachel, who was doing the show with me, she wanted to have children and she was pregnant. And then she was pregnant in the last Edinburgh that we did together. And we had to sing a song about not wanting to have children. And she was like 3 months pregnant. Like, and she was probably more than that, because she was like trying not to show in that really like skimpy outfits that we had at that time. I really don't miss those as well. I love, like you're saying, about the faff of having stuff with you. I love I can just wear like jeans and a t-shirt and stuff and not really have to like go full on the makeup or the hair. And so that sort of happened. And then I went to Edinburgh for a couple of weeks on my own with backing tracks that David had given me and did it there. And then I kind of, when I was on my own, unleashed, I had space in between all the songs because I was controlling it all. And I started chatting to the audience in those gaps.
Right.
I had done that in the Ruby Darlings as well. Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I think that's when I first saw you. We were covering for Abba Goliath Schumann at a new material gig I think I was doing.
Yeah, with Ryan.
With Ryan, yeah. And that's one thing that struck me is that you were so comfortable just chatting with an audience. So that's something you started doing in the Ruby Darlings.
Yeah, and it was such a nice environment to develop that skill in because you're part of this show and no one's really expecting that element as well. Like, it was just like an added thing, so I was allowed to just figure that out and talk to them when I wanted to and not when I didn't, and just like flesh out stuff that came up.
We've had that discussion on the podcast before. There's quite a lot of the comedians who are musical comedians, like Billy Connolly being the first one I think of, is he started as a folk artist who used to chat between his songs, and then that chat became the reason people would go and see him, and then the songs became not less important, but he became a stand-up comedian before there really was even, like, before the new wave of stand-up comics here, the idea of having to deal with an audience is the first bit of being a stand-up. So when the group finally dried up, dissolved, and decided this is our last gig, were you already working as a comic?
I don't think it even happened like that. I think I just started doing stand-up. I don't think we officially said, like...
No, we didn't. And
we're breaking up. We didn't do a press release. No one cared.
This is why we have you on.
In fact, it was 2019. We got back together to do the alternative Eurovision.
Yes,
on
which
the
we
South
won.
Bank, which we did win.
We had done it three times before and not won, but we'd won this one.
Yeah.
And that was when David was in his sparkly jumpsuit. That was special for many reasons. Finally.
That's why we should enter Eurovision for reals, David, and get you back in that suit.
Okay, yes. I'll do it.
I like that new Sam guy with the beard, but I think you're better.
We did that, and I'm sure that we're going to get you on to the Cray Cray Cabaret as well.
Yeah,
so
get the band back together.
Absolutely. Second Wednesday of every month.
Second Wednesday of every month at the Comedy Store.
At the Comedy Store in London.
Hot
stand up comedy with a live house band. It's the Cray Cray Cabaret.
Should we just do it now?
We can
just record it, and then when you do the gig, you just press play.
You just press play.
We can all just go
and
home.
And I'll hold puppets up,
eat
the puppet
pizza
of you, and then David and a Spangler.
Get an early night.
Yeah. So let's go back to musical comedy, because that's what people are interested in. Mm-hmm. You were the lyricist.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you.
Learning. I guess so.
The lyricist.
That just sounds really official.
And David would bend the lyrics into his melodies?
Yeah. And Rachel was like the go-between in with both of those things, because she was more musical than I was.
Right.
But also like helped with the lyrics and the ideas, and she kind of like, would you say
and
that?
She,
would you agree?
Well, she could also harmonize. Lily's got a great voice. But Lily didn't like doing harmonies.
Oh, I can't do them for shit. If someone just sings the exact thing, like, I can copy it most of the time, but I could never find a harmony. Like, I think people that can do that, it's just incredible.
The amount of times that we're in a gig and and I would be singing a harmony. Rachel would be singing one. Lily would jump onto mine, so then I jump onto yours.
Yeah,
and then you'd jump back. And
I'm like, I want to sing with
quite,
you,
which is quite amazing because I've been doing lots of work with your partner Thomas, and when we do the harmonies, it does the exact same
oh
thing.
My God.
I sing
so
like that
cute.
As well.
Yeah, it's something that lots of people do.
I sing like that as well. I find it hard to not sing what the other person is singing.
Yeah, it's really hard to stay how, in your lane.
You can just tune the other person out enough.
Yeah.
To hear it. So, do you have a favorite comedy song? Do you like comedy songs?
I used to really like Tenacious D.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck Her Gently. Which is a stunning song. Yeah,
it is a classic.
And nice I find and short.
People know every word of the song. Do you know every word of the song?
Yeah.
Do you sing it?
Yeah. I think I used to request it in clubs.
Right.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that now?
I'm pretty okay with it.
I think it's funny. I think it's still a funny song.
It is still a funny song.
There's few songs in the world. There are floor fillers that you put on that people immediately get up, like Michael Jackson's Billie Jean is one of those. The minute that bass line hits, everyone kind of go, ooh. And for sing-alongs, Fuck Her Gently is one of those songs where people know every single word and sing full voice, arm in arm. That if you want to bring a group of people together,
put like Billie
Jean,
Rhapsody.
Get them on the floor, and then fuck her gently.
And then
get Billie Jean
your
on the dance floor and then fuck her gently.
That's not what I said, was it? That's not what I meant, exactly.
Is it offensive, though?
No, he's doing it.
I haven't listened to it.
I think isn't that the whole point, though? He's doing a pastiche of rock, and what they're doing is they're making fun of that kind of rock thing. It's similar to Flight of the Conchords doing, you know, the what's called the sexiest, the second what's it called, part-time model?
Part-time model.
I mean, it's you know that it's meant to be funny. They're not being rude to women that aren't.
Yeah, I think that's...
yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
that's
right,
why, like,
right.
in comparison to, like, all the horrible rap songs that I also used to request and knew all the words to, because I was a really cool girl, that was offensive. And they said really terrible things that I've now listened back to now, and I'm, like, humiliated that I listened to them on repeat. But I think the comedy element, and then I think that's what we wanted to do. Like, we did have rude stuff, but... because it was all funny and lighthearted, it was okay.
And we did have a decent amount of rap as well, didn't we, Lil?
Did you? Can you remember
Why
any of the rap?
Why did I do all the rapping?
Well, let's hear some of it. Give us a...
No, we did a parody of...
come on.
Fresh Prince, which is probably a bad time to...
Oh, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that, should we? But then
Will Smith ruined this.
Do it, go on.
I don't remember it.
Oh, you do not remember it?
In North London, born and raised.
The beautician, that's where I spent most of my wage.
Wage.
Well, that went well. Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
It was about pubic hair.
Do you think I've got it here?
Yeah, you probably do, yeah. Yeah.
It was about pubic hair, and I used to wear a pubic hair hat that I'd
made
myself.
With your own pubic hair?
No, my gran's wool.
Your grand's wool, not your grand's pubic hair.
Maybe a couple of her pubes. Maybe a couple of her pubes got lost in there. Oh, yeah. In North London, born and raised, the beauticians is where I spent most of my wage. Mostly relaxing, waxing my minge. Lady rips my hair off my lips and my rim. One of these days, I was getting it off. She was spreading it, pulling it, tearing my muff. So I started to think, this ain't swag. Go away, leave it there. I want hair on my badge. After my change, I was feeling cool. But pubes are subject to ridicule. A couple of guys, they were up to no good. Started making fun of my lady bush. I got in one little fight about pubic hair. And I thought, guys, get over it. It's hair, don't be scared. I was liking my curls, but it was moving too slow. I wanted more hair, so use some Miracle-Gro. I looked at my kingdom, it was no longer bare. A forest had grown. I love pubic hair.
Pubes.
Pubes.
I think we did, yeah.
I think we did, yeah. Oh, it was a crowd pleaser.
It genuinely was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that. That was fun. Haven't heard that in ages, Lil.
God, I've still got it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that you
Will
have
Smith,
but it is something
out.
You've got in your sort of little bag of tricks that when, so you're going to Edinburgh this year.
Uh-huh.
So you're doing, and what's your show called?
Smut.
7:45.
Pleasance Bunker.
Pleasance Bunker. Ooh, nice venue. Smart. Pleasance Bunker. Pleasance Own.
It is smart. And I'm going to be ruining it.
But at any point, you could, people just throw a slider and put in some musical comedy and people go, whoa, where does that come from?
I know, yeah.
That girl can rap.
And do jokes. I could really show
up. But it's something you should
off.
Hang on to. Because I remember watching Jason Manford in... You know, for years, just only ever really thought of him as a stand-up comic, as did most people, and a great presenter.
And then he did the
Masked Singer.
Out
of nowhere, he became, you realize he's got not just a really good singing voice, a trained singing voice, like a West End operatic singing voice. And I think we did a benefit for the late, great Paul Byrne as a Full Mooners. It was an Andrew Maxwell show, and Jason Manfred went on, and that's the first time any of us had heard him sing, and it blew people's minds because he had this other skill. So you could be
Jason Manfred.
You could be him, but you could wait until you've got your own TV show.
Yeah,
hold back and then bring back the Ruby.
Yeah, I just want to do it right in a way that like flowed and made sense, and not just for the sake of like going, hey, I can sing.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that, I think, is when people do that, is then you're kind of stuck doing, I'm probably speaking from experience. If you show all your tricks all at once, then people learn that will last for about 3 or 4 years. People go, and now what? So, whereas you're better to act as if you've got nothing.
Yeah. And I can also tap dance. So.
Is that so?
Keep
you
that
serious?
In my back pocket.
I hear Susie Ruffle can tap dance.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get her on the cray cray so she can tap it out. She was supposed to be on, and then she had to pull for some reason. I think it's because she
hadn't shined her shoes.
Didn't want to tap. Tony Law can tap dance.
Can he?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we should
do a show. We went to Pineapple Studios and did some lessons because I was trying to get up to his level of tap. Because we've got a dance duo called Night Danger.
Me and
Tony Law.
That's excellent.
And we were going to tap the end of war. Oh, you laugh. You laugh, but there's a power in tap dance that doesn't exist in other dance forms.
It's the least cool of the dance genres.
Well, but right now, the world could use us, because imagine the power of Night Danger now.
Well, tap your way to Putin.
We just go to Dunbass and tap.
Sweet tap.
Yeah, this will finally be like why tap was invented. Like we've all wondered.
It's not
so
why.
Long.
We never wondered. We always knew. Night Danger always knew.
Night Danger.
So what else can I ask you, Lily? What will our podcasters want to know? We want to know your musical influences and
musical influences, Monty Python, all of that. Life of Brian, Every Sperm is Sacred. Great.
Oh, what a tune.
I love that. Yeah, I do love the combination of funny and nice sounding.
Well, that's what I was about to say about the Tenacious D thing, is that what makes that song work and makes it, it's not just a piece of crass humor, is that it's really well written piece of music, and that's what sets these things apart. So all the stuff we're talking about, if you haven't heard the song Say No to Anal, it's the thing is, if on paper you might go, I don't know if I'd enjoy that, but then when you hear it, music is able to somehow point you towards the comedy humor in it.
Exactly.
If that was a proper serious rock song, you might go, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah, a bit more aggressive.
Yeah,
for sure. And it was the end of the show. I feel like we've talked a lot about this song, and I don't want to get complaints.
I was thinking about, we were talking about, it's just funny.
Little song. Because it's anal, there's loads of things you can say about bum.
There are.
And poo.
Yeah. We did get so many people coming up and talking to us about that. I mean, there was some horror.
Oh, there was that guy that said, he was furious. He was like, you call yourself sexually liberated, but you won't do anal. Why not? I was like, mate, I'm not going to do it with you anyway. So just go and do anal with someone. Yeah. So like, this would never happen. So just chill.
I mean, we did anger people. But
that's
most people
what great
did.
Art does.
Yeah, comedy has a way of angering people, though. Comedy, something weird. You can go watch a band or watch a movie and go, I didn't like that, and leave. Mm. You go and watch comedy. If people that don't like it, they have to come and tell you, I really didn't like it. And like,
yeah,
I was only trying to make you laugh. Well, I didn't think it was funny. Oh, all right. Well, sorry. You know, I'll never do it again. What do you?
It does excite something in people. I had this woman at a gig the other day come up to me in the changing room and was like, oh my God, it was so amazing. I just wanted to come back and say, like, oh, you were so great, really funny. Thank you so much. You're the best comedian we've had here in ages. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. That's so sweet. And then she was like, oh no, wait, sorry, the best woman.
Oh,
and then
wow.
Just left.
No.
And
wow.
I just cried.
What? I don't understand people anyway.
Why would you just add that?
But did she mean that in a nice way?
They always do.
Is it possible that she
I
meant,
don't normally find women funny.
She meant, and on top of that, you're a woman? Like, is that what she meant to say?
Oh, no.
She was just saying you're the best woman.
But she still thought that was a really big compliment.
Yes, of course.
I mean, it is still a compliment, but it's so... It's so
backhanded.
Degrading to any female comedian. And you'll just feel like you're representing women all the time when you go and do these gigs. And then, anyway.
Yeah, I know.
That's another podcast.
That is. That's your podcast.
Called Woman from Fleet.
You've got a podcast with Esther Manito, haven't you?
Yes, called Ghastly Women. Yeah. And I shall mention this woman on there.
I think you should.
I think you should when we start doing our next series.
Name and shame.
Yeah, although I don't know her fucking name.
Oh, well, let's call her Lady 3.
Now, we normally ask our guests to perform something or sing a little something.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a rap already.
But
as we go into the last little section of the interview, is there something that you could... sing for us to lead us out of the interview.
Yeah, so we were looking through our repertoire.
I mean, and there's a lot.
Oh, pages and pages. absolute perfection.
There is quite a lot there.
So we're going to perform our hour show.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Well, I
and then
mind,
there's going to be a tap number at the end.
I mean, can I just read out this set list?
Just read it, David.
The set list. Hello. Pubic hair, cut, moon cup.
Can I just say hello was just...
Hello.
Hello. Is it me?
Oh, no, I used to go, and to open, we're going to sing a song from the perspective of the clitoris.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Oh, that was literally it.
Yeah, that was the gag. So hello, pubic hair, which in brackets has cut, then moon cup, poo, baby...
Poo baby.
And then anal. That was our
and we'd like discuss, we'd be like, should we do baby then anal, or should we do poo and then God. Anal then or anal moon cup vagina smear test.
We
like,
even
what
had a song called Willy Washer.
We had a song called Willy Washer about my deceased grandma. During the war, she was a nurse, and one of her jobs was to go around washing all of the soldiers' penises. And she told me about this, and I was like, that sounds like a great idea for the Ruby Darlings. And we only performed it once, because then she died. And then I was like, oh, no. I feel weird about this now.
You could do it as a tribute.
We'll do it as a tribute. We should have done it at the funeral. God.
You know they've got like statues to the unknown soldier. They could have a statue to the. She couldn't have been the only Willy Washer. There must have been There must have been a platoon. There must have been a platoon of Willy Washers.
She said people used to request her.
Oh, oh my God!
What
she
a slut bag.
Well, she was gentle. I imagine.
She was complimentary.
Oh my God!
Right. So, what are we singing?
What song would you like to sing, Lil?
I quite like the vagina one.
A small man in a canoe went fishing in a cave of wonders, listening to his favorite clunge music in a crack. He found a snack. Pooh the nanny had made a badly wrapped kebab.
Thanks, Pooh Nanny.
He was happy as a fanny. What a twat. Then suddenly she who must not be named appeared. Lord Voldemort pulled her wand out of her wizard sleeve and said, Would you like a cup of tea and a whisker biscuit with me? And you can meet my pals, Lawrence of Arabia and George W. Bush. George W. said, what is this wet clunge music playing? Some notorious VAG motherfucker. That's what I'm saying. So they danced all night like disco flaps until the break of a hymen. A small man in a canoe vertically smiled as he played with his Polly Pocket. And they all lived happily ever after in George's thatched cottage in Virginia. Virginia. Vagina. What do you call yours? Well done, everyone.
Did you hear me? I tried to join in on that. What do you call yours? That's Lily Phillips, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Songs in the Key of Laugh. Absolutely fun. And let's hope, I'd love to see the band get back together. I'd like to see, would you think of doing like maybe coming to do the Craig Craig Cabaret?
Your hen do?
Can we get Rachel? I'll do my hen do. could you get Rachel to come back and do the Craig Craig?
We can ask her.
We'll see what happens.
But yeah. Either way, it's been nice speaking to you, Lily.
Love you,
Phillips.
Lil.
Love you. Thanks for having me.
No problems.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, adios, farewell. You'll be glad to hear that we think that your interview went well. But we have other things to get on with now, so you're gonna have to go. I'm sure our paths will cross again, but whoever really knows? It's been fun, it's been musical, it's been comical at times. But now we have to leave you, so goodbye, goodbye.
That was Lily Phillips.
That was Lily Phillips. Now she's great. That was fun. And it's nice to hear you guys reminisce and nice to know a little bit about your musical, comedy musical background as well. That was kind of fun for us.
Yeah, it is nice. I'm glad that we didn't go too much further into our school days because they were pretty depressing.
It sounds like you're sitting in a room with shorts on. But Lily Phillips, well, the first time I saw her doing the that new material night where she was filling in for Abba Gleischmann and I was doing the night and I thought, I'd never seen her before and I thought she's just really naturally funny but kind of endearing. She's warm and a little bit naughty, and I think we're going to see huge things from Lily Phillips.
Definitely.
If you'd like to see more or hear more from Lily Phillips, why not visit her at lilyphillipscomedy.com, her website, and that's Phillips with a double L, by the way, or visit her Instagram, and her Instagram is @lilyphillip_s, @lilyphillips.
If you are in Edinburgh, check out her hour-long show, Smart, at the Pleasance at the Bunker.
If you'd like to support our podcast, go to patreon.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh or coffee.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.